why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, and righteousness like the armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints.
Take the helmet of salvation. Take it. How do I take on the helmet of salvation? All right. But first, we need to know, how do we receive salvation? How do I receive salvation? There are many theories, theologies, practices people have embraced to explain how to receive salvation. Or people have embraced in receiving salvation. Some people will say, you know, I was born in the church, literally born in the church. My mama gave birth to me inside the church. Some will tell you, when I was a little baby, I was taken to church and they sprinkled water on my head and confirmed me, and that means I have received salvation. Others might say, hey, when I was little, my grandma took me to church, and since then I've been going to church, I am saved. You could see here other people telling us that, you know, I read my Bible, I pray to God, I help people, I'm good. Someone can also tell you, I've been baptized in water, I was baptized, that preacher dragged me and dunked me in the Derry River and pulled me out and said my sins are washed away. I am saved. There are not many ways of receiving salvation. There is only one way to receive salvation, only one way of receiving salvation. And there is no better person to learn that one way from than Jesus the Savior. John chapter 3, from 3 through to 5.
Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit.
Jesus said, we must be born of water and the Spirit. Of water and the Spirit. The water Jesus was talking about is not spring water. It's not river water. It's not ocean. It's not a pool. He wasn't talking about aqua or H2O. Except a man be born of water and Spirit. The water Jesus Christ was talking about here is the Word of God. Paul revealed this to us clearly in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. Washing of water by the word of God. The word of God is the figurative water that Christ was talking about. The word is the figurative water that washes. What can wash away my sin? We say nothing but the blood of Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no blood of Jesus. Jesus is the word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. By him all things were made. Nothing was made that was without him. In him was life. The life. In him was life. The life became the lights. 14 says, the word became flesh and lived amongst us. Let's read verse 14 of that. John 1:14.
The word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father,
full of grace and truth. This word became flesh as the Son of the Father, from the Father, Jesus Christ. So it says, except a man be born of water, the word of Jesus, and the Spirit, except through the word and the Spirit, no one can be recreated or be born again or receive salvation or have salvation. How did God create? How did God create things, everything? By the word and the Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Spirit was hovering, and God spoke word, and then light came into existence. The Spirit interacted with the word spoken. Creation happened. How does God create? By the word and the Spirit. So Jesus Christ said, except we are born of the word and the Spirit, nobody can have salvation. No matter how many practices, doctrines, theories, approaches people have, except they are born of the word of God and the Spirit of God, nobody can receive salvation. God has his production or creation model that is ever consistent. How was Christ conceived? Even Jesus Christ, how was he given birth to? By the word and the Spirit. The angel of God came and gave the word to Mary. And Mary said, how will it happen? The angel of God said, you will be overshadowed by the Spirit. And then Mary received the word by speaking it out. Let it be to me according the word and the Spirit. And she conceived and gave birth to salvation, Jesus Christ. That is the model of production or creation in the kingdom of God. Any creation outside of that model is not from God. So that is a model, but there's a process. We're talking now about salvation. There's a process. Salvation is like marriage. Who gives this bride away in marriage? The Holy Spirit. The bridegroom is Jesus. The Father, God Almighty, is the priest that brings the union into existence, makes it happen. And a marriage is a covenant. It involves the exchange of vows. So to be born again, we must confess our own vow. With our heart, Bible says, we believe unto righteousness. But with our mouth, we confess unto salvation. That is the process. Although the model is the word and the Spirit, but then you have to speak it out, what you believe in your heart. Let's read it in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We can't earn it. No work involved in it. It's a free gift. But we got to take it. We have to receive it. We have to unpack it. Taking the helmet of salvation is part of unpacking the gift of salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that it's clear how to receive it. If there's anyone here who received salvation in a different way, this is an opportunity. We can pray right now and do it the right way. Hallelujah. Let's all say together. So, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name
of Jesus.
I surrender.
My life. To you.
To you.
I receive.
The free gift.
Of salvation. From you.
I believe.
In my heart.
That Jesus.
Is my Lord.
Is my Lord.
And my Savior.
I receive him today.
And forever.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
Thank you.
I know. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
What is the importance of the element of salvation? How is it beneficial? Let's open our Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read 8 and 9. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here that the people Paul is encouraging to take this helmet of salvation are those who have received salvation. He wasn't telling those who have not received salvation to take helmet of salvation. This helmet is only available to those who have salvation. This recommendation is for those who have received salvation. Why should they, if they have received salvation, why should they be required to take the helmet of salvation? One of the reasons is for us to identify that there are three types of salvation. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read verse 23.
May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this.
Amen. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Your spirit, soul, and body. This is man. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives in a body. Man is essentially a spirit. If man was made in the image of God, God is a spirit. So whoever, whatever he made in his likeness and image has to be like him, spirit. But because man needed to live on this realm, physical realm, this head realm, he needs a physical body to exist on the physical realm. So this spirit has a soul and is living inside the body. Now, when we become saved, born again by water and spirit, or by the word and the spirit, what became born again is the spirit of man. Nicodemus asked him, should I go back into my mother's womb? I'm already old. So it's not talking about your body. It's talking about spirit things. Whatsoever is born of the spirit is of the spirit. So what became born again at that moment is the spirit that joined with Christ. And that salvation is instant and the past. Now, the soul, at that moment, is not born again. At that moment, the soul is not saved. Even the body is not saved at that moment. Because the salvation of the soul, which we call the mind, is gradual, is present and gradual. The one of the body is future. It says, we will be like him when he appears, and we see him, we shall be like him. In a twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. And this corruption will put incorruption. This mortal body will put an immortal body. And our body will be saved from all the pains, the stress, the struggle, the corruption, the decay of the world. So now, the soul that is called the mind, whether it's the intellect, whether it's the emotion, whether it's the will, has to be saved on a gradual, day-by-day basis. And this is where the helmet of salvation is very important. Where is the mind? Where is the human mind in the brain? The brain is the seat of the mind. Where is the brain? In the head. What part of the body does the helmet protect? The head. The mind is the head. The head is the mind. Like in two heads are better than one. Two minds are better. If they are bad, they are bad, bad. If they are good, they are good, good. Two heads are better than one is talking about two minds are better than one. You know that neuroscience have said that the brain is a biological computer. So the brain functions like a computer. And you know very well, for sure, that every computer is a target of virus and hackers. So if the brain is a computer, then the brain is a target of attack, a virus attack. Worms, when they enter that computer, they steal the sensitive private information. They make that computer to perform abnormally. Your computer begins to do what you don't want it to do. The brain must not be sick. The mind must not be sick. Because if the brain is sick, the mind is sick. Take the helmet of salvation. I'm taking it slow because I really want us to get this. This is fundamental. What could make the mind sick? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We saw three things there. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. Where are thoughts? Where are imaginations? Where are strongholds? The mind. So there's a battle. And this battle is against these three things. Thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. Thoughts become imaginations. Imaginations develop into strongholds. Is there a difference between thought and imagination? When idea comes to your mind, at that moment, it's just a thought. When it begins to have image, I can have an idea. I want a beautiful car, a BMW. It's a thought. But when I begin to see the picture of that BMW, in fact, perhaps, maybe me driving it, it's an imagination. It's become imagination. And the more I imagine that, the more I put on that picture in my mind, it becomes a struggle. Because that struggle now is propelling my emotion, my actions, thoughts, imagination, and struggle. These are what can corrupt the mind, can poison the mind, can make the mind sick, or on the other side, make the mind healthy. And Paul said, we must protect the mind. Take the helmet of salvation. Why? To protect the mind. The critical section of the mind that requires or needs critical protection is the subconscious mind. Not that the conscious mind doesn't need protection, but the one that requires protection the most is the subconscious. And that the subconscious mind is like in the computer, the hard disk, where you index all information or store all information, where you store all the software and index all the software. For a human mind, the subconscious mind is where we index all our beliefs. The things we believe is indexed in the subconscious mind, the hard disk. The conscious mind is simply like the RAM, random access memory of a computer that displays whatever we want to display. You know, if you have your computer and you want to produce a document and you want to use Microsoft Word, that Microsoft Word actually is sitting in the hard disk. So when you put on your computer and it comes, and computer comes on, you still have to click the icon of the word, and then it takes a while for it to load up. What is happening is it's calling it from the hard disk and temporarily putting it in the RAM, the random access memory, temporarily, until you're done using it, so it can go back. And the mind is exactly like that. There are things that you display, you forget. There are some things you will never forget because they are indexed in the subconsciousness. Of the subconscious mind. And Paul is saying, take the helmet of salvation. The subconscious mind is what we also call heart. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinks in his heart, in his subconscious mind, so he is. Take the helmet. The helmet of salvation is the insurance, the protection for the mind. Where the helmet protects in a human body is the head. The head. Remember that the head or head is symbolic of authority, head of the church, head of government, head of nation, head of family, head of school, authority, as much as it is also the mind. So what Paul is saying, take the authority of salvation to protect the mind. Take the authority of salvation to protect, to ensure the mind. Invariably, we are vulnerable without wearing the helmet of salvation. We are vulnerable if we refuse to wear the helmet of salvation. Anyone who has received salvation but is not using the authority of salvation is weak, is very weak, is vulnerable to various attacks. If you do not put firewall in your computer, if you do not put virus protection in your computer, it is vulnerable to so many attacks. So any Christian who has received salvation and is not using the authority of salvation, believer's authority, is very, very open to series of attacks. Take the helmet of salvation. How? It doesn't just come by prayer. It's not just a matter of praying. How do we do that? This is a big question. John 1:12 says, To those who believe in him, he gave the power to become the son of God. That means they have the nature of God. They are like God by nature. The nature of righteousness is the nature of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made Jesus Christ, who did not know sin, to become sin in our place and took our sin, so that we have an exchange now to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Being a child of God makes me the righteousness of God. And that is the seat of my authority. Righteousness is the seat of my authority. So now that I know what my authority is and I need to take it, how? Mouth is powerful. You confess to salvation. And that same method, same way, same process of placing this authority of righteousness in my mind. I have to now wake up every day, think it, talk it, act it. Think it, talk it, act it. Think it, talk it, act it. I have to say to myself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Not only say it and forget it and walk away from it. Think it, say it, and do it. Act it. Act it until you become it. If you have received salvation, if you are redeemed, you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You are. And that is where your authority, that is where you realize that you have dominion over sin and death, over Satan himself. If you can't get it in your heart first that you have righteousness, you can't cast out demons when they come. That is when he will say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Define yourself. Tell me who you are. But if you can tell him, I am the righteousness. In fact, he will see it and run. Because he knows you know. Say, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Say, I am the redeemed.
I am the redeemed.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
I am the righteousness.
I am the righteousness.
Of God. In Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am sealing.
I'm sealing.
With Jesus.
With Jesus.
At the right time.
At the right
of the throne of God. I have the glory of Jesus. I can do what Jesus did.
What Jesus did.
And more.
And more.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All power.
All power.
In heaven. And on earth.
And on earth.
Belongs to me. I have the power. To trample. On serpents,
all serpents,
scorpions, and all the powers
of the enemy,
and nothing, absolutely nothing, shall
by enemies
hurt me, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name,
I am the edge,
and
not the tail.
I am above.
I'm not beneath.
Not beneath.
I am more than a conqueror. In Jesus' name, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Give him glory, give him glory, give him praise. Yes.
Come on. That's it. Ain't that something?